hear it from a rooster. And I'm not the rooster. You ever heard a rooster crow? When you hear a rooster crow, that's a new day. A new day beginning. Well, you know, there was a man in the Bible. I guess you figured out who it is by now. That heard a rooster crow. When he heard a rooster crow, it meant a new day in his life. A new beginning in his life. And that man was Peter. Simon Peter. Peter, as we know, he was a man that had a personal revival. He is a man that also had failed Jesus Christ in that long night, darkest night of his life. After following Jesus Christ, they far off, warming by the enemy's fire, and denying that even knew Jesus Christ, the rooster crowed, as Jesus said it would. And it was a new day, spiritually for him, beginning of a new day. And here today, I want to thank the Lord for this sermon that he allowed me to put together with the scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God. Because every sermon is for me, and you just hear the after effects of it. That God allow me, and I hope you put yourself in the equation, that God allow you, after we have failed him many times in our walk of life, after we have failed Jesus Christ so many times, and a lot of times the old devil like to tell you that you have failed, you have not lived up to your Christian life and your Christian walk. And he want to make you feel like you're not worthy and you won't get another chance and you won't get another opportunity. But here to tell you this hour that Jesus Christ gave Peter a new life and a new start. And he will give you, and he have given me many a new start in my Christian walk, because I have failed him. And a lot of times whenever you hear a rooster crow and you understand what it's talking about. So this morning we'll be reading these scriptures, dealing with this man's failures and his mistakes, but he was given a brand new start in life. You know, I believe there's a lot of us here this morning and look back upon our life, and you know, and I believe that we could hear the rooster crow, that God has given us a new start. Most of us, I believe we could say that we're really not worthy to be followers of Jesus Christ, but he said he loves us and he gives us a new start. So let us read here in verses 54 on down to 62. And we're talking about whenever Peter denied Jesus Christ. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off, like a lot of us do. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maiden beheld him as he had sat by the fire, earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with them." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after a space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know what not what they're saying." And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out. He wept bitterly. Let us pray. Father, we know that you have many ways of getting our attention. Father, in your toolbox, it might be a rooster. Father, this hour, it might be a song. Father, it might be just a friend or a name. But you have a way of getting our attention and letting us know how much that you love us, even though that we know that we have failed as a person, even though that we fail many times, all of us. But Father, we want to thank you for your love, for your mercy, and Father, also, Lord, for many different ways that you get our attention in our circumstances of life. Father, even this hour, Father, I pray that you might speak into the hearts. And maybe, Lord, that you bring it to their attention. But how, God, that maybe someone here maybe has failed you. And, Lord, that they need another chance, another start. And, Lord, you will. So we want to thank you, Lord, for this day, the God of the second chance. And we want to thank you for your love and your mercy. And, Father, for what you're doing for us and through us. And, Father, again, we want to thank you for this church and every person that's here this day, and also every member that could not come for some reason or another. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. Now, old Peter, you know, he had a problem. Now, Peter had been with Jesus for about 3 or 3.5 years. He left everything. You know, he left his fishing boat, and he said, man, I've left it all. Probably, you know, that Peter, he had just bought him a new boat, and I tell you, the fishing business was better than it ever been, and they were selling more fish than they could ever sell, and they were just making more money, and they just bought some new nets, and Jesus Christ walked by and says, come and follow me. And he laid everything down. Now, as Peter was thinking about this, and he'd been walking with Jesus now for about 3.5 years, and this is about the last week of Jesus Christ's ministry before he went to the cross. And Peter had been with him, and he saw the power that Jesus Christ had, knowing that he believed that he was the Messiah. He saw the power that he had, that he could feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There's just a few loaves of bread. He saw that power. He saw the power whenever Jesus Christ would see somebody was blind, and they would come up to him, and Jesus Christ would give them their sight back. And also the dreaded disease there of leprosy, that Jesus Christ would heal the leprosy. He saw that Jesus Christ had power over the elements and the nature, because he would calm the storm. He saw that Jesus Christ was walking on the water, and him and himself was willing to get out of the boat and walk on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ. He knew the power that he had. And he was waiting then. Jesus was going to restore the kingdom. But he didn't understand what kingdom that he was talking about. At that time, the Jews was under depression of the Roman Empire. And they were depressed by the Roman Empire. And all the disciples and the Jews was looking to Jesus Christ to restore this kingdom back. As old King David brought the great power of that nation of Israel and the great power of the world. They was waiting for Jesus Christ to bring his kingdom to earth like they thought that he would. But his disciples, they just waited and waited. But you see, there was something was wrong. They was wanting to be sitting one on the right hand and one on the left hand. But then the problem that Jesus Christ in, beyond their understanding at that time, Jesus Christ began to talk about his death and his burial at the hand of the enemies. Something just didn't seem right to Peter. He could not grasp this with his mind, because this was not the kingdom that he really thought that Jesus Christ was come here for. The spiritual kingdom he didn't understand. And Jesus Christ says, you know, some of you is going to betray me and even deny me, as he was talking about his death and also about the cross. But old Peter, being boastful, and as a lot of times as us Christians, we get kind of boastful. But he says, not me. You see, the rest of these, Lord, they may deny you, but I'm going to tell you what, I won't deny you. I'll go with you even into prison, and I'll go with you even into death. I'll follow you. The rest of them may not come on Sunday, but I'm coming. The rest of you may not tithe, but I'm tithing. The rest of you may not pray, but I'm praying. The rest of you may not come on Wednesday, but I'm coming. The rest of you may not do this, but I'm going to do this. He was boastful what he was going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but we find out, being boastful, as old Peter was, we find out that sin is called pride. S-I-N, and that middle letter as I. And the same middle letter is pride, P-R-I-D-E, is a middle letter. Peter, you know, might have meant every word. There's a lot of times that we mean every word. We say, buddy, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to be more dedicated, and I get this just a minute. I'm going to be more dedicated. I'm going to be more committed than I've ever been. And you probably mean it at that time. As old Peter said, buddy, I'll follow you into prison. I'll follow you even into death. I will follow you. But the Lord does not want you to be dedicate yourself to him, as you may think. You think about this. A lot of time we come and we dedicate. We wear out our dedicate. But you see, the Lord don't want you to dedicate yourself to him. He wants you to deny yourself. Get these difference. Because we'll dedicate ourselves and we wear ourselves out, kind of dedicating ourselves to the Lord. And that time, we may be serious. How many times have you seen people do that? And I'm not telling you not to do it, because we need to. But when we dedicate ourselves, you know, we forget about what we're really doing. But God wants us to deny ourselves. We dedicate ourselves, we're saying, I'm going to dedicate my energy. I'm going to dedicate my ability to do everything I can for the Lord. I'm going to delegate my strength. I'm going to delegate my courage. Lord, I'm going to do all this for you. The Lord don't want us to do that. The Lord wants us to deny ourselves and then come and follow him. In this same chapter, before this ever took place, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both unto prison and unto death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny me how many times and say, I do not even know that man. I wonder if any of us here today has ever denied Jesus Christ since you've been saved. Now, you might come out and say, well, I don't even believe Jesus Christ. But the way we act, what we do, and we do not deny ourselves, I'll tell you, I have many times. I have many times. Jesus Christ, knowing the weakness of the flesh, as he knew Peter, and he looks out upon this congregation here this morning, and he knows the weakness. Jesus said to Peter, before that rooster crows, you're going to even deny that you even know me. Jesus Christ did not tell us to dedicate ourselves, but he says, you know, to take up our cross and follow him. Now, if you don't deny yourself, you're going to deny Jesus, I can assure you of that. If you don't deny yourself, you're going to deny Jesus. It's what he's talking about. In that verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, death or the grave, it don't matter. Peter failed at his greatest strength. Listen, Peter failed at his greatest strength. And we guard our weakness, but we do not guard our strength. Now, Peter, he was a very courageous man. Now, I mean, he wasn't afraid to get out of the boat. All the rest of the disciples, he wasn't afraid to get out of the boat and begin to walk on the water. And whenever they was in the garden and they come to arrest Jesus Christ, you know what, old Peter, he wasn't afraid of that whole crew. He drew out that sword and he cut the high priest's ear off. He wasn't afraid. I'm going to tell you, he wasn't afraid. But when did he fail? In the front, in the presence of a little maiden girl is where he failed at. I don't even know this man. Deny the Lord. Now, the Old Testament saints are the same as the New Testament saints. Now, we know that Abraham, you know what? In his strongest area is where he failed. His strongest area was a man of faith. But yet, when Abraham went down to Egypt, he lied to Pharaoh because he thought that Pharaoh was going to kill him about his wife Sarah. Said, now don't tell Pharaoh that you're my wife. You tell him that you're my sister, and that was just a half truth, half sister. Because he finds out that you're my wife, he's going to kill me and take you for his own. He did not have the faith because he did not guard his faith in there, and he was a strong faith. He had the faith of the Jews. He's the faith of the Christians. All of his faith. You see, he did not guard that area. For areas today, our strong points is where we fail so many times. And David was a king of integrity, but yet we know that he had failed, and we know that adultery and a murder. And you think of Samson, his strongest point. You know, his symbol was his hair, and yet you see what happened to old Samson. But old Paul in the New Testament, saints in the New Testament, they're strong areas. And Paul realized this, and I want you to realize this, that we guard against our weakness, but our strong points sometimes we don't guard, and where we fail, where old Peter failed at. And you know, 2 Corinthians 12 and 10 tells us that old Paul says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I know when I'm weak, I depend on the Lord. Y'all understand that? When I'm weak and I can't do it, that's when I begin to depend on the Lord. That's what old Paul says. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 also tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he falls. Being boastful. Whenever we are boastful and we think that we can handle this thing ourselves, and we boast like old Peter said, man, they might deny you, but I won't deny you. Man, I'll go with you always, no matter where it's at. Prison, it don't matter death. And whenever we're boastful that way, what we're doing is tempting the devil to tempt us. And you think you're something, and you think you're strong, and you think you're spiritual, and we're tempting the devil to tempt us. You see, go ahead. And then you know what the devil will do? He says, go ahead then. Man, I'm ready to serve the Lord. He says, go ahead. Peter, the devil says, go ahead and sin. That's what the devil's telling Peter. Go ahead and sin. You can get away with it. But then afterwards, the devil looks, he said, boy, he has sinned now. And then he starts accusing you. Peter was tempted in the area of pride, accused by the devil, and very discouraged if he is ever going to get another chance. Very discouraged. He thought maybe he'd never get another opportunity that time when that rooster crowed. He was never going to get another opportunity to serve the Lord. And you know, there's a lot of Christians today that's failed. And old devil has accused them. And they don't know if they're ever going to get another opportunity to serve the Lord. They think that's it. You never can be used more for the Lord. That's what old Peter was thinking. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I failed and I won't never get another opportunity. When that rooster crowed. But whenever that rooster crowed, I tell you what, there was a new day. There was a new day, and these three things I'd like for you to look. The Lord has put on my heart. I hope he puts on your heart that what Christ is to us and what he really means to us. Because this was a revelation of truth that he learned from a rooster. A revelation of truth he learned from a rooster. Peter, he heard it from a rooster. He woke him up. In Luke chapter 22, 60 and 61, I've already read, Peter said, man, I know thou not what they're saying. Immediately, whenever he spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said, Lord, before he crows one time, you're going to deny me three times. He remembered that. The lesson that Peter learned from a rooster, that is Christ of sovereignty. The Christ of sovereignty. The Lord, you know what? He is in absolute control. No matter what the situation in your life, you fail, whatever it is, God is in control of your life, whether you realize it or not. You're never out of control. God always knows. God's always in control. For he either rules or he overrules of mankind. Jesus Christ, Peter understood that he is sovereignty, that Jesus Christ has that power. Now, you see, Peter there it followed him now for about three and a half years. And like I said, he gave up everything he had, and the disciples gave everything he had. But now Jesus Christ comes down, and he's arrested. He's put on trial. He talks about dying, going to the cross. Man, he says, this kind of a leader that I have been following now, this kind of leader, is this the Lord? Is this the ruler? Is this Messiah that I thought it was? You know, Peter says, things are just not working out like I thought they'd work out. Many a time a Christian that does the same thing, and you come and you give your life to Jesus Christ and you walk down an aisle, I'm telling you, you fall in through baptism, you join a church and you give your heart to Jesus Christ, and for a little while seem like everything you're on top of the world, but then you come to the reality of what life is all about, and you find out that you still have that old fallen nature, and you fall so many times and you fail so many times, and you say, well, this Christian life, I'm going to tell you, I used to go to church, but listen, it's just not working out for me. I'm still under the bondage of this old sin. I feel like I'm still doing things I ought not to do. It's just not working out like it should be. But I'm going to tell you, even today, and in your life and my life, and I'm going to tell you, the world that we're living in today and the country of the United States, I look at this more than any other way. You see, and I sometimes, you know what, I look at, I say, Lord, what is going to happen? And Jesus Christ says, you know what, I'm still sovereignty over this country. I'm still sovereignty over this church. I'm sovereignty over every one of you, every child of God. I'm sovereignty over every one of you. It's my power above all power on earth. All power is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and earth today. But you look at this world and some like we just give up. God just seemed like he's just not working. God says, all right, I'm still on my throne, regardless of what you think about this country, wherever it's headed to, but I want to tell you that I am still on the throne. And in your life, you're having problems, you didn't ever believe that you'd do what you do, I'm going to tell you what, but I'm still a throne of your life. I'm still on the throne, and I'll never be off the throne. Jesus Christ rules or overrules. Jesus Christ is saying, trust me, I have everything under control. The problem that you're having, the failure that you had, whatever circumstances you ever had in your life, Jesus Christ is saying to you this day, trust me, I'm still under. I still have control over everything. Peter, I want you to trust me. I still have control. 2 Timothy 3 and 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, Jesus Christ is faithful, and he cannot deny himself. He is sovereignty over every problem that we might have. Rooster, tell me, Peter, that God is sovereignty, and he is. He is sovereignty. And yet we look at this world, we look at this country, look at the White House, and look like a failure that we're having, and such a person that we have, and a bunch of cronies that's following him. But God says, I'm still in control. Everything is running just on time. I'm in control. Yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, Peter takes these things, you know, in his own hands. And like me and you so many times, we have the wrong weapon, we have the wrong attitude, we have the wrong energy, we have the wrong enemy. And this is the same thing old Peter did. You know what? The wrong enemy. Peter, you know, pulled out that old sword and cut the high priest's ear off. You know, that's the wrong tool. That's the wrong enemy. The enemy is not the high priest. They come after Jesus Christ because they was going to bring him there to the halls of Pilate. They come after him, that's true. But the real enemy today we're facing, it's not really in the White House. It's not these liberals that believes in all these abortion, the homosexuals that we have running our country, all the liberals that we have. That's not really our enemies. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. You know, we cannot use swords to fight this with. But you see, we had the wrong enemy, had the wrong energy. As I think so many times in Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil wants you to fight flesh against flesh. That's what old Peter was doing. If he can get Christians fighting flesh against flesh, he's got you. Because that's not our warfare. It's not one another. It's not a person. That is not the battle that we're in as Christians. Because you see, Jesus said, put up your sword, Peter. The battle is not against the flesh, but against the darkness of the power of this world. No bullet, no bomb can come and put out the power of darkness against us this day. And we find out that revival is the power of God. In this country, that's what we need. We're having a terrible time in our country, are we not? And if we keep going in this direction, it's going to get worse, is it not? And the leaders that we got in the White House today and the State House today, following in, it's going to get worse. Most ungodliest people that have ever been, I think, is what we got leading this country. But I'll tell you one thing, revival will change everything. Revival can change. You know what we need in the hearts of people? You know why that the people's in the White House? You know why people's leading this country? Because the hearts of the people are so far from God. That's what it is. It's not those people. It's the hearts of the people. It's so far from God. The Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. There's a stronghold pulling in our country in the direction away from God. But the power is of God. It's not the carnal things that we can do. It's what God has given us. He had the wrong attitude. He said, you know what? Don't be angry. Peter got mad, cut the high servant's ear off. He was mad. He got angry. But you see, sometimes I watch television right smart at night, especially the news. And you know what? I have to watch it kind of early because I watch it too late and go to bed. I'm mad all night. So I have to watch it early or I can get out of it. But you see, he said, you know, you got the wrong attitude, Peter, because James 1 and 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'd straighten this country out if I could. I'd get up there. I'm going to tell you what, whenever you met a man, when I got through with him, he'd be decent to talk to. But that's not of me. It's of God. It's the wrath of God. But the wrong energy, flesh, he wanted to use that power of that old sword, the power of that flesh. Peter argued, you know, when he should have been listening. And Jesus Christ was talking to him, and Jesus Christ is talking to you. And a lot of times, you know what? We argue with God. And old Peter was arguing with God when he should have been listening. He is boastful when he should have been depending. And then we find out, you know what? He was sleeping when he should have been watching and praying. And then, you know what? He was fighting when he should have been loving. We have the problem. But we find out the second thing, not only that Christ is our sovereignty, but you see, Christ is that sympathetic Savior. Look what old Peter done, his sympathetic Savior. I really like this. Because you see, in verse 61, that old rooster crowed and Peter remembered, and the Lord turned upon him and looked at him. He just looked at him. You know what God's doing today, right now in this service? He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. As he looked at Peter. But you see, Peter understood this was a look of love. It was a look of love. The look that broke Peter's heart. Peter saw love and compassion that Jesus Christ had for a person that had failed. As he looked at you, Pleasant Hill, the look of love. Thank you, Lord, for looking at us with a look of love. A lot of times we will condemn one another. A lot of times that we'll find fault with one another. You know, a lot of times even Christians will look down their nose at someone else. Look at that person. Look at their life. They won't ever amount to nothing. Jesus Christ had the look of love and not of condemnation. Thank you for the look of Jesus today and not of condemnation. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He doesn't change you that he can love you. He loves you so he can change you. And I tell you, I need changing. And there's nothing that you can do to keep him from loving you. Nothing that you have done to keep him from loving you. And there's nothing that you can do to cause him to love you anymore. God loves you just like you are. But listen to me. He loves you too much to let you stay like you are. Peter learned that Christ also security. In verse 31 and 32, Peter, Simon wants to sift you. He's desired. He sifts you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Now he wants to sift them. Now, why did Satan want to sift old Peter? To find out his impurities he have. Sift him. A lot of you remember back when we used to sift corn and maybe peas before we planted. We had to go to the crib and get the corn and you'd sift out the stuff because you'd plant corn out of the crib and the peas that you'd save, you'd beat them out and wind them out and you'd sift them and, you know, you'd sift out peas. Well, you know, the wind would blow the chaff away. You'd sift things to the top. Well, old Satan knows human nature, knows our flaws and our failures and our fears, and he wants to point them out, you know. He wants to point them out to us today. All right, you claim to be followers of the Lord. All right, you're a Sunday school teacher. You're a deacon. You sing in the choir. You do this and you do that. You claim this and you claim that. That's what he wants to do. And he finds out that, so you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but Satan wants to sift you, and he'll find out, you know, sometimes you have some things in your life that are not to be there. Now, God already knows it. But this word here, Satan hath desired you. You know what that word means? That word desire? He wants to attain permission. He desires. He wants to attain permission to sift some of you, to sift me. He wants to attain permission. And that's some good news and some bad news. You know, the good news, Satan can't do anything without God's permission. He can't sift you without God's permission. But the bad news about it is God's going to permit it. God will permit it, just like he did him. Sifting. Satan sifts to condemn you. And Christ used that sifting to, you know what, to cleanse you. Now, once you're sifted, you see those areas in your life as old Peter did, you know, Satan will accuse you, but the Holy Spirit will cleanse you. That's what he used it for. Peter was full of boasting, and he was ready to go to prison to death. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12:7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You see, what did David use as a young child to cut off Goliath's head? His own sword. You see what God does? He uses Satan's instrument to what? To defeat him. And he used them there to cleanse us, just like he did there of that great giant. David took his own sword. He couldn't hardly pick it up and cut his head off. Because you see, Jesus uses Satan's sifting to cleanse us, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that are loved God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Satan hath desired, but God, he says. Now there's a difference between Satan accusing you and the Holy Spirit's convicting you. And he don't want you to learn this difference. When we sin, Satan will sift you and you feel bad about it. You go to 1 John 1:9 and confess our sin. He is faithful to forgive us our sin and clean us from all unrighteousness. You've done that. If anybody ever used that verse of scripture, you know you failed the Lord Jesus Christ. You've done something you ought not know. Maybe you thought it was terrible, 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 and you asked him to forgive you, and he forgave you. Went in that scripture, then 2 or 3 days later, you ask him again because you got the feeling that you were so unclean and you're not worthy. And you've done the same thing 2 weeks later. You got the feeling the same thing. You asked him again. And you get that same feeling again. What's happening? What's happening? The devil is accusing. Holy Spirit conviction. What is the difference in those two? When you sin, you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. He puts it under the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer do you ever have to bring it back up. But you still feel bad. This one, you do not go on your feelings. You do not go on your feelings. The devil accuses you. Well, what the devil does, he accuses you for sin that's already been confessed. He accuses you for sin that's already been confessed. Well, what if I keep feeling bad about it? Well, you know when the Holy Spirit, he'll only convict you of the sin that's not been confessed. He convicts you that, hey, you need to go and get this right. The Holy Spirit of God. That's how you tell the difference. One's on your shoulder. You know that you sin. Every one of us has failed God. Don't look at me with those faces like that. I know that you failed God. I'm not the only one in here that's failed God. And I've asked him to forgive me. And I don't feel worthy sometimes. And I have to really understand what it's talking about here. Because the Holy Spirit convicts me. Hey, I need to ask God to forgive me and I need to get this thing right. That's the Holy Spirit convicting me. But when the devil accuses me of this, that same thing comes back up the second time. I know it's not the Holy Spirit convicting me because he only does that one time, and that's all it ever takes if you put it in the blood. And from then on, if it may be 50 more times or whatever it might be, it's old Satan accusing you of the sin over and over and over and over and over again. And one time is all it takes for the Holy Spirit of God to convict you, and you confess your sin. 1 John 1:9, get it cleaned out. And from then on, you know it's not of the Holy Spirit of God, it's of Satan. And that's what old Peter had to learn to find out in this sifting. Now, Peter heard it from a rooster. Jesus Christ's security. Now, Jesus knew Peter's faults and fates and also his future. In that verse 31 and 32, you know, again, it says, you know, he desired to have you, but whenever you converted, strengthen thy brother. You see, Jesus Christ knows you, Pleasant Hill. Every one of us, he knows you, and he knows me. You know what? Jesus Christ knows the worst about me. See the screen on the board? As far as God's concerned, and I sure would hate for this to be true, that he would flash my life up upon this screen and everybody could see. Would you like for yours to be up there? Would any of you like yours to be up there? For all of us can see your failures and your faults. Not a one of you. But God knows. He knows the worst about me. I have been surprised at my own self. Have you? Have you been surprised at your own self, how that you have failed the Lord? I've been surprised. what I would do and not do, and how I'd fail the Lord. Jesus Christ has never been surprised at me, and he's never been surprised at you. Why? Because he knows that I'm clay. He knows that I'm dust. But that will not stop him from loving me. Today, I can say, Jesus, I love you. And he knows that I love him, even though it was old Peter. Failed him so bad. Denied him so much. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ met with Peter 3 times. I guess because Peter denied him 3 times. And you know, he met him there in the book of John. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know, last time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything about me. And you know that I love you. Eternal security. And it says that Jesus Christ is praying for us. In John 17, 9 and on, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, or thine. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through your word. Today, did you think about this Pleasant Hill? That Jesus Christ is praying for you. Now we have denied him, and he hears our prayers. Hebrew, it says, he ever lived to make intercession for us. You know, Peter, after that old rooster crowed, he heard it from a rooster. You know, he just went out and wept. Don't you think it's about time for some weeping? To be broken over our sins and our coldness and our indifference that we have towards God. Don't you think it's time for some weeping? I hardly ever prepare a sermon that I don't weep over. Sometimes I just have to lay it down, and I get up and I leave out of my study. Peter wept. It's time for some weeping. When the rooster crowed, Peter heard it from a rooster. And I love you, Jesus. I think it's about time for us to tell Jesus that we love him. As we come with a song of invitation, no matter what God has put on your heart this hour, about time for us to say, Jesus, I love you. He knows already. About time for us to tell him, Lord, I love you. I'm not ashamed of you. If we come for that song, may God search our hearts today. About time for some weeping.